You guys can take a seat. All right, well, we don't ever want to invite you guys in here and invite you to sing those songs and maybe just pass over the meaning a little bit. And if you are a sixth grader and you're new to Wake, or if you're new to Watermark, or maybe if you've been here a while and you just haven't been paying attention, there's something that you ought to know, is that most of the time, you're not going to come in here on Sunday and just get a feel-good, fluffy message or experience where we don't invite you to sing with us and to think about what the words mean, and we don't invite you to think about the application of those words and the application of that worship in your lives. And we don't just talk about your lives in saying, hey, why don't you don't forget to pray to God and ask him to help you get a good grade on the test. While that is important and that's a great thing to do, we're concerned with bigger things than just how you do on your geography test. We want you to do well. We want you to be diligent in your studies and all that. But we're talking about eternal things a lot of times in here. And this song is all about eternal things. It's about the test when you die and you stand before God and you stand before the throne. Are you going to be complete? And are your lips going to know what to say in that moment? And so let's look at that last verse. Let's just not move on past that song, sing it, and then get on with it. Let's look at it. And when before the throne, I stand in him complete. And I ask you the question this morning as you sing that song, is that legit? Is that for real in your life? Do you know that you will stand before God complete someday? And can you confidently say, Jesus died my soul to save? I've been forgiven of my sins because of the death and the penalty that was paid by Jesus Christ, God, who came to earth, and God died for me. God died for me, my soul to save. And that's what my lips are going to say. And is your life declaring the chorus of this song that comes after this? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Do you know how dirty your sin is? And do you know the penalty of that? And do you know the glory of God washing you white as snow? And if you do, when you say Jesus paid it all, you can't help but follow that with all to him I owe. And so 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, we're talking in here about what it means to owe your entire life back to the God who purchased your life with the blood of his son Jesus. And so at Wake, we're talking about, how do I be awake? I'm awake. How do I be a person who acknowledges that Jesus has paid it all and all to him I owe? And that event has happened in my life, that I know that I'll be able to say, my lips will be able to repeat, Jesus died my soul to save. And so what does that look like? What are the consequences of the event of knowing Jesus Christ? We want you guys to take your faith seriously. We don't just want it, we need it. Our country needs it, our city needs it, your school needs it, our world needs it. We need you guys to start maturing now. Even as you grow physically, we need you to grow and mature spiritually and emotionally to be leaders of this world. This is important stuff. So how can you be awake? A ripple. How can the still, just boring, peer-pressured waters of your school be disrupted by Jesus Christ moving through you in that school? That's what we're talking about. How can you make an impact and be awake? And what is the evidence of God's work in your life? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. How do you live that out? So Wake is a consequence of an event. Last week in this talk, okay, we talked about kind of inner renewal. This is one of my new shirts that I got on tax-free weekend. Everybody see how nice it is? This is from The Gap, and got it on sale. I was pretty excited about that. But outwardly, this shirt is going to waste away. Eventually, it's either going to go out of style, probably not because I have pretty good fashion sense, but eventually, it's going to wear out, all right? It's going to wear out. It's going to fade. It's going to get holes. Hopefully I won't grow too much bigger except for my muscles, which those are always growing. But outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And we talked about inner renewal last week, about heart renewal. And I challenge you guys to go look up and read Colossians 3 and to make a list of old clothes that you need to put off, old things in your life that you need to move past, and the new things that you need in your heart. And this week we're going to talk about, all right, if someone is beginning to be renewed by God in their hearts, Right, whatever that looks like for you, hopefully it means getting around other believers. Hopefully that means listening and applying what you hear from God's word in here. Hopefully that means reading the Bible on your own. Hopefully that means confessing your sin and trying to do better. Trusting God with the challenges you face, and on and on. But as you're being renewed, right, what does that look like on the outside to other people that are watching your life? And so we're going to talk about how the inner renewal affects the outer renewal. You see, Jesus tells us in his first and longest sermon towards the beginning, it's in Matthew 5, he says that you guys, if you know him, you're the light of the world. And he says that nobody would put a lamp underneath a bowl. You put it out for all to see. And so we're going to talk about, hey, how is your light shining for all to see? How is that wake evident to others? Or when others see you, does it appear like there's no movement in the waters? Like there's no change. And so we're going to look back at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. So what does it look like for the old to be gone and the new to come? And so we're going to focus on that. But before we move in that direction, and you're not going to understand how this applies, but it will apply, I promise you. This is one of my favorite videos that Watermark Student Ministries has ever made. Some of you guys have seen it. Some of you haven't. But enjoy this video now, and I'm going to talk about why I'm showing it to you. So let's turn the lights down.
Hey, we're here at Ty Tamlin's house, and today I'm just gonna shake Ty until he wakes up and I'm not gonna make any noise.
Costumes. Costumes are fun, aren't they? You see the costume I was wearing in that video? I'm wearing it now. And wouldn't it be great if I wore this costume all around, everywhere, all of my life? Brody's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm coming to your house. We'll see how much you like it. That was not set up. That was for real. And I was scared, and I think he was scared for a couple days following that as well, because some strange man in a clown costume was shaking him, and the goal there was to shake the person and not to let them hear my voice so they might know who I was. It was just to shake them until they wake up and then see what happens. And so I'm just shaking Ty, and I'm committed to it, and he starts screaming. I'm like, all right, we're going to see this through all the way. And so I didn't say anything till after he was done with his little panic attack. But, boy, that was a fun experience, and I should have felt bad about it, but I didn't, because it made a great video. So you can find that video, Wake Up Clowns Extreme Terror, that's what it's called, on YouTube if you want to watch more of it. But, you know, costumes are fun. We're getting ready to go to Pine Cove. I hope everybody in this room is there at our Pine Cove retreat, and it's over Halloween weekend. And what's so exciting about that is that we always do some sort of a Halloween party. This year, we're going to play Costume Commando. So we're going to be playing Commando. It's a game in the dark, in the woods, in our costumes, which will be very exciting. But What's always curious is that a ton of small groups get together beforehand and they come up with some creative group costume. I think last year we had swine flu, where everybody dressed up like pigs and they had different t-shirts on about the diseases that they were carrying. We had the cops and robbers, which was very fun. There were a lot of different costumes that were really fun. And Halloween is great because you can be creative and you can dress up and you can become something that you're not for the night. But it would be weird if you wore your Halloween costume on Monday to school, and on Tuesday to school, and on Wednesday to school. And for weeks and months following Halloween, you just kept wearing your costume. Just like it's really weird that I'm wearing this costume right now. It's uncomfortable for me. The wig is itchy. It smells a little bit like fish. And I just don't feel like this outfit really fits my body type. It's not becoming to make me an attractive, engaging person. So in a second, I'm going to take this costume off. But I want to leave it on a little bit longer so you can just feel how weird it is to look at someone wearing a costume. Because you wouldn't want to wear a costume every single day. But here's the reality I want to get to. As I told you earlier, you know, you guys have the light of Christ. If Jesus has paid it all for you, and you owe him your life, and you should be shining for others to see. I think so often we put the light that we have, our knowledge and understanding of a saving, eternal relationship with God, we put it under a bowl. Or, to use another idea that we're going with this morning, we put on a costume when we go out to school, or maybe when we engage with our parents, or when we go to our practice, or sometimes even when you come here to church, maybe a lot of times when you come here to church or you go to your small group, we put on a costume and we cover the light of Christ. Everyone, I think, on some level, myself included, your leaders included, your pastor included, everyone on some level has a costume. Now, I don't know what your costume is, and I don't know why you're wearing it. But I do know this, I've gotten to know enough people over time, deep enough, that I always discover something that I didn't know about them after a long time of knowing them. And I realize, wait, why didn't I see that something earlier? It might be something good, a talent that they have, a gift that they have, a passion that they have, or it might be something bad, a sin that they've committed, a hurt that's happened in their life, a way that they've dealt with it. All right? But everybody has this costume. And I'm not exactly sure why, but we're going to investigate that a little bit this morning. So what I want to do is take off my costume, because it's itchy and ugly and awkward, and go over, this is the weird part when I do this. Okay, we're all still here. I want to go over maybe four costumes that I think are common costumes that people wear, and these are ones that I wear. There's the Impress My Peers costume. All right, this is one you probably put on at school or on a sports team when you're talking about how good you did on the test or how good you did in the game. Did you see my catch? This is my small group guys. They'll get done with a football game, and they're just all clamoring to be noticed for their story of the catch that they made, which I'm proud of them for making a good catch. Way to go, guys. But we're just trying to impress each other. Adults do the same thing in the way we dress and what we drive and the house that we own and where we live and whatever. We're just trying to impress other people. And I think everyone on some level has an Impress My Peers costume. Do you? Think about your life. Think about the process you go through getting ready for school each day and what goes through your mind as you walk through the doors. Are you thinking about impressing others or looking good for others? That's partially a costume that we put on, a face that we put on, a mask. To look happy or secure or confident or cool or whatever it is. So that's one. Here's another one. The Don't Disappoint My Parents costume. This is where you've done something or thought something or haven't done something or whatever it is, and you think that your parents will be disappointed if they find out the bad grade that you got, the mistake that you made when you were with your friends and you succumbed to a temptation, all right? The feeling that you have about yourself, the feelings that you have towards them, the things that you did when they were gone out of the house, and you had the internet all to yourself. And you have this costume that you put on for your parents where you just don't want to disappoint them, but they have no idea this whole other part of you that is very real, but you put on a costume and you cover it up. It's the Don't Disappoint My Parents costume. Here's a third one, check this out. The Keep My Sin Secret costume. This is where you've done something, thought something, said something, and maybe one or two or three or maybe no one knows about it. But you just keep it secret, and you cover it up with a costume. of spiritual pride or a costume of self-preservation or whatever it is, and you try to keep your sin secret. That's a costume. And here's a fourth one, just a fourth kind of category, and I think there's others, but the avoid my pain costume. I'm just going to put on a happy face, and if somebody says, how are you doing? I'm going to say, I'm good. How are you? It's great. Is there anything wrong? No. Well, you look kind of sad when you're over there by yourself. No, it's nothing. All right, another name for the avoid my pain costume is the it's nothing costume. It's nothing. No, it's nothing. But there's pain going on in your life, and you just kind of cover it up with this little bubble of a costume. And so everyone has a costume. Maybe you have one of these. Maybe you have layers of costumes, and you're wearing all four of these. And you might be looking at this list and be going, yeah, I do have that costume. Yeah, I have all four, all right? At some point in my life, I've had all four. What's the big deal, Peniel? Why is that so bad? I have pain. Why wouldn't I want to protect myself? All right, if I've been cut and wounded, why wouldn't I put a Band-Aid on it and cover it up? Right? Why wouldn't I want to put on a costume? If I have sin, why would I want people to know about my sin? Then I would be ashamed, and I'd look like a fool, and people would think I was an awful person, and nobody would want to be my friend. Right? I don't want to disappoint my parents, because then I'll be grounded, I won't have a cell phone, and then on and on it goes. But here's the reality. It is a big deal, because your costumes have consequences. And there's a lot of consequences to wearing a costume. Just in the same way that if I wore that clown costume every day, I wouldn't have any friends. My head would be all itchy. There'd be things growing in it. I would never be able to appear in public. I probably wouldn't be able to open a bank account. I mean, there'd be all kinds of problems if I lived in a costume. And if you wear costumes like this on a regular basis, there's consequences. And I want to make sure you understand that. Look at some of these. I'm just going to click through this presentation so you can read them along with me, all right? People may accept your costume, but here's the question you're left asking yourself. Does anyone really accept me, or do they just like my costume? And so day after day, week after week, month after month, sometimes year after year goes on, and you just wonder if anyone loves you. Okay, people love my costume. I put on four layers of costumes, and my parents seem to love me, and my friends seem to love me, and my teachers seem to like me, and on it goes, and my small group leader likes me, but you know what? I've got the avoid my pain costume on, and I've got the hide my sin costume on, and I wonder if people really knew about those things, if they would really love me. And so you start to develop this sense inside yourself that you're an unlovable, unlikable, unacceptable person. That's a consequence of wearing a costume. You know, you may love the appearance that your costume gives you with your parents, with your peers, with your teachers or small group leaders or me or whoever, but can you keep that up? I mean, maintaining a costume, you guys all have gone trick-or-treating, right? Say yes. Yeah, so you know how from house to house, you're running, you're sprinting, huffing, heaving, getting candy, eating some while you're going. You're constantly having to like fix and adjust those uncomfortable costumes. I mean, sometimes you get the perfect costume. You're like, oh, I got it. I'm going to be a soccer player. It's a genius idea. And then you just wear shorts and a uniform shirt, and you're like, yeah, I'm a soccer player for Halloween. It's a comfortable costume. And then, you know, somebody else, you decide, oh, I'm going to be Buzz Lightyear. So you're clunking around all Halloween. You're constantly having to adjust and fix to be comfortable. Keeping up a costume, if it's a good one, keeping up a costume is hard work. And so you're just tiring out your life, and your whole life becomes not really living, but your whole life becomes costume maintenance. And so all you're doing is keeping up the appearance over here with your parents, keeping up the appearance over here with your friends, keeping up the appearance with your teachers, keeping up the appearance at church, and your whole life is about costume maintenance and not about really living. So you might love the appearance, but can you keep it up? Here's another one. At least two people know about your costume. You know about it, and you know what's real, and definitely God knows about it. He knows what's real. Can you handle every day getting up, looking in the mirror and knowing that you are putting on a costume and living a lie? Can you live like that? Maybe today, yeah. And maybe tomorrow, yeah. But every single day, can you handle that? And lastly, and this is kind of where we started, does your costume cover up the glory of God's work in your life? And so here's where I want to go. I want to go back to that passage. Leave this up here for a second. I want to go back to that passage in 2 Corinthians for a second. And I want to talk to you about what this last point means, because I think this is the most pivotal one. I think if you understand the glory of God's work in your life, you will want that to shine through, and it will outshine and overshadow and demolish the need for any costume that you have. When you become a new creation, that passage that we talked about, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. When you're a new creation and you really understand what it means to be a new creation in God, then you realize you don't have a need for a costume because that new creation is good enough. It's exactly what God wants you to be and how he wants you to appear. And it's satisfactory for you, and it's certainly satisfactory for God, and it gives him glory and good in your life. And so, here's the point that I want to make to you guys this morning, is that awake is someone who has had the event of coming to know Christ. Awake does not need a costume. Now, let's look at this passage. We're going to look back at 2 Corinthians 5, but we're going to look at the verses before and after, kind of around this new creation, actually after the new creation verse. So, look at the screen. Follow along with me reading silently. I will read it out loud for us. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Leave this up there for a second. So here's what this is saying, that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, meaning, all right, all the mistakes you've made, all the things that you've experienced in your life, God came down to this earth to fix, to make them better. To reconcile. Reconcile means to make right, to repair, to put back in order, to bring you back to him. And if you live with him, then you'll know how to handle your sin and everything else you face in your life. And so the new creation has been reconciled to God. And so if you have a life that is truly, you truly understand and believe that God is not no longer counting your sins against you, and if you truly believe that last line, the last end of that paragraph in there, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. If you understand what that means, that you are the righteousness of God, then you'll realize that there's nothing in your life that needs to be covered up. If you really believe that, if you could look me in the eye and say, I really believe that I am the righteousness of God. What a crazy thing to say. But the scripture says that that's what you are. And so if you can say that and you understand that and you believe that and you trust it, then you don't need to cover anything up. So let me show you real quick. Here's how this passage, if you go through it piece by piece, eliminates the need for your costumes. Awake doesn't need a costume. The impress my peers costume. Awake has become the righteousness of God. So God's requirements for your life, if you really believe that, have been met, have been satisfied, then the requirements of your peers don't matter. All right, God requires one thing of us and one thing alone for this life and the life to come, and that's to be perfect. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. All right, that's all God wants of you guys is to be perfect. How many people have done that? Nobody's hand went up. But the righteousness of God, the requirements of God were met in Jesus Christ. He was perfect. Go back to the passage if you can. Look at the verse 21 again at the end. God made him who had no sin, him who was perfect, to be sin for us. He took your sin on the cross so that in him we might become, it's a trade, we might become the righteousness of God. So go back to the slide we were on before. So the impress my peers costume, right? We're so worried about impressing other people, we don't even realize that other people's opinions don't even matter. And you only realize that when you consider God's opinion and how much it matters. His opinion is the only one that matters, and you've blown it with God, but guess what? He came to you in love, and he satisfied his own requirements through his son, Jesus. And so if you realize the grandness of that proposal, of that truth, that God's requirements for your life have been met and satisfied, then you will not care about the requirements of your peers if you are living your life for God. If you realize that Jesus paid it all, and all to him you owe, then you don't owe anything to your peers when they tell you to be skinnier, to have a shorter haircut, to put on a dress, to play a certain sport, to, you know, score a certain number of points on the video game. Who cares? To go out with a certain person. Who cares? God's requirements for my life have been met. 14-year-old girl, I don't care about your requirements for my life. I don't need to wear an impress my peers costume. Awake doesn't need it. Let's look at the other costumes. The don't disappoint my parents costume. All right, you have offended God with your sin and separated yourself from him, and you have been reconciled to him, which means that relationship has been repaired and restored. So if reconciliation with God is possible, then reconciliation with your parents is possible. So if you've done something, thought something, said something, and you're a Christ follower, I dare you to go tell your parents. I dare you to. And see what God will do with that. And say, listen, parents, I've done this, I've said this, I've thought this, I've felt this. And I've been reconciled to God. I know that he's made it okay in my life. And I trust that he can make it okay between me and you. I'm really scared that you're going to be disappointed in me, but I need you to help me experience God's love and show me God's love and show me God's forgiveness and show me that you still love me and you're not disappointed in me. I dare you to do it. Come and tell me how it goes, good or bad. But awake doesn't need a don't disappoint my parents costume, because if you can be reconciled to God, God can work out that reconciliation with any other person in your life. I promise you. That's why in those verses it said that we're Christ's ambassadors, that we've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation with other people. Okay, so let's go to the next costume. What about the keep my sin secret costume? Oh, I just don't want anybody to know what I looked at, what I did, what I said, what I thought, what I felt. Well, guess what? Awake's not afraid of being defined by their sins. All right, your sins, Christian junior hires, they don't define you. All right, so if you tell me something that you did, I don't see you as a bad person. I see you as myself, just like me, a sinner who needs God's forgiveness. But what defines you is the fact that Jesus died for you. What defines you is God's love for you and the treasure of the creation that he made in you that he loves so much to purchase you with the blood of his own son. So awake's not afraid of being defined by their sins. Forgiveness means that sin is not counted against you. It does not define you. So you have freedom from condemnation. One of my favorite verses when someone confesses something to me is from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God doesn't condemn you, and I don't condemn you. Now, if other people do, you need to do two things. One, you need to look at this truth and remind yourself that God doesn't count those sins against you and God doesn't condemn you. And two, you need to get people around you, your leaders in this room, your peers in this room that love Christ. You need to tell them, hopefully your parents, tell them about your sin. It's the scriptures say to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. Don't condemn one another, pray for one another. So tell people who will offer you God's forgiveness, offer you grace, say, God doesn't condemn you, neither do I. Let me pray for you so you don't do it again, and let's move on. Your sin doesn't define you, so stop wearing the hide my sin costume. Some of you guys today know that you need to go confess something to somebody. If you need an example of a student that's confessed something to somebody, come find me and I'll hook you up and they can tell you how it went. Lastly, what about the avoid my pain costume? Awake's been forgiven by God, and so you can learn to forgive others. You know, the pain that others have caused you. And I want to encourage you guys to trade a numb life for a new life. All right? So you can numb your pain, you can put on the costume, you can hide it, or you can say, you know what? I've been forgiven by God. I need to forgive those that have hurt me. All right? I need to tell them. I need to offer forgiveness. And then I need to move on to a new life and not let that pain haunt me anymore. And this is one of the hardest ones to do. And if you need to do that, talk to a leader, talk to me. We can walk you through what that sort of forgiveness looks like. But don't pretend like there isn't pain in your life. You don't want to live a numb life. You want to live a new one. So here's the final thought. And then we're going to get out of here. You don't need a costume. You don't need one. All right? It's fun on Halloween to put one on, but don't walk through school every day wearing some costume trying to impress your peers or not disappoint someone or cover something up. You are a new creation. If you're not, you can be. That song that's true for the kids around you that were singing it, if it's not true for you, it can be. God loves you. Everybody knows this verse. If you don't, learn it. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, not just certain good people that come from good families, that live in a good part of town, that go to a good church. No, God loves the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, anyone who believes in him doesn't have to perish anymore wearing some stupid costume, but you can have a new life. You can be forgiven. You can have eternal life, one that lasts. And so if you aren't a new creation, you can be one today. And all it takes is a prayer between you and God saying, hey, I know that I have sin that needs to be paid for, and I believe that Jesus, that God came and died to pay my penalty. He paid it all, and I owe you my life, and I want to give it to you. And I'm going to take off the costumes, and I want to find out what this new life looks like. So the person who has a new life doesn't need a new costume. You just live that new life. So if you want to be awake, right? If everyone in this room lived this way, there would be waves going through schools all over town. So if you want to be awake, if God has moved through your life, take off the costumes, learn to live without them. There's four of them, and there's probably a lot more. So if you need to figure out what that means, please, I've said it a million times, talk to somebody. That's what our small groups are for. So you go to your small group, and now you talk about this stuff. You open up the scriptures, you look at it for yourself, and you figure out what it means. All right? If you're not in one, wake on deck. Tonight at 7 o'clock. If you're not in a small group, you're a 7th or 8th grader. If you're a 6th grader, you just got to wait a couple more weeks, and then you're in for 7 years. We want to make sure we get it right. All right, let me pray, and I have three announcements for you, so don't hop up right when I'm done praying.